You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Mark Garber. As you've been hearing, federal judge Shira Shindlin ruled today that the NYPD deliberately violated the civil rights of hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers through the way it conducted stop and frisks. In the landmark decision, Shindlin has ruled the police department must agree to broad reforms and that a court-appointed monitor will oversee the multi-layer changes required to bring the department in line with the Constitution. For more on this, WNYC's criminal justice reporter Kathleen Horan joins me. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Mark.
You spend a lot of time reporting on the streets of New York, and you sat through much of this trial. What did you hear in that courtroom that you saw echoed in the judge's decision today?
Well, the plaintiffs made a strong case. You know, these 12 young people described in detail and often emotionally what it was like to be stopped in the streets, on their way home, to visit their grandmother, on the way to school, just regular lifetime activities, mm-hmm. just very matter-of-fact daily activities. And on page 3 of her decision, which is 175 pages, she notes what a demeaning and humiliating experience each stop is. So she really heard them. And also remember that the NYPD has had years of warning that this policy was under scrutiny, and she found that the NYPD acted with deliberate indifference. We witnessed testimony of officers saying that they had to keep their numbers up, and supervisors saying that the numbers of stops are really based, you know, the number of stops that an officer does is factored into whether they get a good performance review or not.
Kathleen, you alluded to this. The judge pointed out in her decision that the city willfully ignored overwhelming proof that this policy is discriminatory. What exactly did she mean by that?
She found there was inadequate monitoring, inadequate documentation, and that the city didn't have the checks and balances in place to really safeguard against racial profiling. She put a lot of emphasis on the plaintiffs. One of them, David Ehrlich, had this response when he heard the news.
When I got the call this morning, the first thing I did was cry. I think it's a really good picture of what's going on in the society. I mean, this is a big thing for New York, but as far as America as a whole, it shows the polarization of people of color in this country as how we're viewed.
Well, Mayor Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Kelly vehemently disagree with the judge's ruling, and they are vowing an appeal. What did they have to say in reaction to the decision, Kathleen?
Basically, they're saying that they want to protect people like David Ehrlich. Mm-hmm. They're saying that they want to keep him safe and that not only are they stopping a lot of minorities in high-crime neighborhoods, but they're also trying to protect their lives because they're often victims of violent crime. So, you know, they also cited their safest big city in America argument and said that, you know, if you have too many bureaucrats meddling with how the police do their job, the city will be less safe.
Well, just going back a little bit, they use the phrase, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like the number of the percentage of minorities who are both perpetrators and victims of these crimes are what they're trying to address here, correct?
That's right. Well, listen to the mayor. Listen to what he has to say.
If somebody pulls a gun and you want to get home to your family, you don't have time to say, well, now, wait a second. The commissioner said one thing, the monitor said another, and the IG said another. By that time, you're dead.
It's become a very emotional issue.
Mm-hmm.
And,
very.
You know, the mayor is very emotional about this. And he's basically, you know, laying it all on the line, saying if you mess with how they've been policing over these 12 years, then, you know, the sky's going to fall and the city will be less safe.
Right. And really emotional is right. You've talked to many more people than I have. I've talked to a few who have been stopped and frisked, and it's emotional for them. It's very, very personal, obviously. Well, some of the reporting you've been engaged in is profiling the life of every child killed by gunfire. The mayor's anger comes out of this huge effort to get guns off the street. Based on this ruling, does the judge reconcile the challenge between keeping people safe while protecting their rights?
You know, in a sense, that's her whole decision. She notes that even if stop and frisk helped to get guns off the street, and the data doesn't really back that up, and mm-hmm. she uses a lot of data, incorporates a lot of data in her decision. She says it's really about balancing the tension between liberty and public safety. And that's something she hopes the monitor will help you know, encourage and that will happen now.
One of the things they were talking about too was body cameras on police as well. I heard something about that. So she's coming up with suggestions.
It will be a pilot program. Mm-hmm. I think she wants every precinct to have a body-worn camera, and so that, you know, all the transactions between police and people being stopped could be.
I'm sure the PBA will have something to say about that, correct?
You know, I want to just direct people to our website. Mm-hmm. I encourage them to read the decision. It's incredibly readable, and she doesn't write in a lot of legalese. It's very easy
accessible
to read, and there's a lot of archived reporting on Stop and Frisk that our listeners might want to check out.
That's decision available and a timeline on Stop and Frisk. You can visit wnyc.org. Thanks a lot, Kathleen Horan.